Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again. 16 years of Flame On. Can you believe it?
Jesus.
Does that mean we're legal? No. Wait.
No!
We can drive. That's what it is. What?
We're just going to go right past that and...
I just had a child bride conversation the other day too.
Well, you're in Florida, Georgia. I mean, that makes sense, right?
I mean, it was in reference to like Idaho or
That's
something.
Did yeah. you know that Idaho is Washington's Georgia? Though really that's not fair to Georgia. Idaho is a lot worse.
It's like it's Washington's Florida.
Yeah, pretty much. It kind of even looks like it, right? Just like flipped.
I don't know. When people retire, they don't necessarily resettle to Idaho, do they?
No. Well, some people like
unless they're Mormon.
A compound in the middle of nowhere and child brides, probably. And yeah, maybe.
Wow. Okay, so anyway, happy 16 years of Flame On. Let's just please move past this.
What are they going to do?
You don't want to alienate people in all the flyover states?
We're trying.
Oh, don't give a shit about them. Fuck them. Whatever. I would just like Brian to not get canceled for the 12,000th time on our 16th anniversary.
Oh,
I mean, at this point, I don't think it's ever going to take. It's gonna take him getting way out of his comfort zone at this point.
I mean, it's really just what, you know, the quote-unquote cancel culture is, where everybody's like, oh my god, the left is canceling us. It's like, y'all aren't out of work. Y'all aren't losing money. But it doesn't mean anything. Words have no meaning.
They are out of work and they are losing money, but, you know, they're in a cult, so they don't notice it.
Well, I mean, in some cases, but in others, it's a very... loose term that really just doesn't mean really anything at this point.
Like, I'm trying to get canceled by the right. I've been trying to do that for years. I don't want to be canceled by the left. I don't know. I'm 49. Come on. I make dated references that used to be funny and now they're inappropriate. What am I going to do? Yeah, I try.
The wealthy never face consequences to their actions.
No. See, you gotta say more shit like that. You gotta sound like what's his name? Brennan from Game Changer and Critical Role.
Oh, yeah. O'Malley.
Yep.
No, Brennan Lee Mulligan.
Lee Mulligan.
Oh god, why do I have O'Malley? Probably because like isn't Scott Pilgrim's guy O'Malley? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I think the creator is Scott Pilgrim.
It's early for the West Coast. Not as early as it could have been.
It's 10 a.m. for you.
10 a.m.
I want you to know that I have been traveling and I am about to keep traveling. My brain is a little mushy. Just going to put it out there. And it's hot. It's like over 75 degrees. So it's too hot here in my office and in the area. So be patient. I'll be fine.
I want to hit you so hard.
I don't have air conditioning, BJ. It's not like Florida, Georgia.
10 a.m.'s early, 75's hot. I just what world? That's gonna get you canceled.
Anywho, welcome to the 16th anniversary of Flame On. We are celebrating 16 years of podcasting. Who fucking knew? It's crazy. But, you know, our Range Rover with a giant bow is going to be rolled out pretty soon while we celebrate a gaudy birthday party. On
you should have thrown a quinceañera. That would have been fun.
That's 15.
That was last year.
Fuck, that's 15.
Please. And now all the Spanish-speaking guys left us.
Really trying.
We should have thrown it last year. That's what I'm saying. Come on, obviously.
We had past participants of Flame On to celebrate 15. That was the quinceañera.
We could have had balloons. All I'm saying, I don't know, what else do they have at a quinceañera? They have balloons?
There's a very important dress, a cake.
Cake? We didn't have cake. I'm just saying. When we turn 30, we can learn from our mistakes. I don't know.
We'll be dead by then, hopefully.
No. God. Wow.
Not the hopefully.
I don't want to be like, listen, I've had 42 years of seeing what this planet's capable of, and I'm over it. Thank God the birthing rates are low. Ladies, we can do better. Let's get that shit down another couple percentage points.
Wow.
Oh, the human race is a cancer.
Damn.
Happy Pride Month. Except for the game.
This has gone so far off the rails, and we're 3.5 minutes into...
You haven't even introduced this yet. That's crazy.
I love it. This is perfect. This
exactly.
Is
so all this can be cut.
Oh! See?
No, cold opens are the thing, right? They've, like, you know, got to drop them in the middle of nonsense. And then
I like a good hot open, if you're asking me.
I do not want to know what that means for you.
They make medication for that, BJ. And
your internal body temperature is supposed to be above, like, 80 degrees, so...
Okay.
If it's below that, no,
I would
probably
hope so.
Okay. I see where you're going with this, and no,
there it is.
I won't pursue this line of questioning or thought process.
You won't pursue a nice hot opening.
But if your body temperature is the same as the other body temperature, then it's not necessarily hot.
Well, internal body temperature. Internal body temperature, I think, is supposed to be like 90 something.
Yeah, 98.6 degrees.
Yeah, 98. I get 98.6 degrees and not a degree cooler.
I'm out. I can't. It's going nowhere good.
Happy Pride Month!
I could only imagine what people's faces while listening to the first 6 to 10 minutes of this podcast. Because you know that none of this is getting edited out.
Yes. Yes. Unbridled reality. That's what the people want. We need to be in a big house all together, like screaming at each other for staying up late.
Somebody just walking around in the middle of the night, clashing pans together.
DJ?
Oh.
All bad girls club.
I was like, this is not Big Brother, thank you.
No, Bad Girls Club is where it's at. In all honesty, it'll be me waking up, like, taking an edible, going back to sleep, waking up again, raiding the pantry, then going back to sleep. That's pretty much what it'll be for me. Some light gooning.
Happy 16 years. Happy Pride Month. I'm skipping over that. We're just going to continue on. We're going to continue on. Did I talk about Gooniversity on this show?
No.
And I've been wanting to talk about it because I stumbled upon it, and it is the best perverted fever dream of my life.
All right, please explain.
Okay, so IML Weekend here in Chicago. So the actual, like, the IML event, there was a gooning, like, training class or whatever. I don't know. I didn't look too much into it. However, at that same time, Jackie's, our lovely Jackhammer here in Chicago, in northern Chicago, held a dayside event that also included a podcast recording. And the event was called Gooniversity. And now, mind you, I'm not going to kink shame. I'm not going to kink ask why. I'm going to kink move the fuck on. And for my, I don't know how to phrase this, but for my, I don't care about gooning, or it just does not make sense to me. Gooniversity was the fucking best event name that I heard for that entire weekend. I thought it was phenomenal, and it became a running joke with my friend Dan that we were just going to buy tickets to go to Gooniversity. Originally, because he was interested in going to either the hotel one or whatever. But we were like, do we spend the extra $10 and get the go to the podcast recording as well? And that it was just a long running joke that never ended up coming to fruition. But yeah, Gooniversity at Jackhammer was probably one of the event name highlights of IML weekend for me here in Chicago.
So I'm pretty sure I could have sworn I sent. Well, it's not on Spotify anymore. It was on Spotify for a hot second. And I could have sworn I sent Brian like a link to an episode. But he's
you
learned
probably did.
A long time ago to not click on the links. But you need I really want him to just wake up one night and click on the link section of like Facebook messages, because you can go to individual chats and click links and it'll have every link you've ever sent them. But I stumbled upon this on Twitter. And it was just the most, I thought it was just like a random one-off thing that like some OnlyFans models did. But like, I kept finding, once the algorithm got a hold of it, it was like, here you go, you filthy pervert. And I think the thing that stood out to me was that it was just these two guys like masturbating. And then there was a doorbell ring and they're like, uh-oh, who could that be? Like it was a Disney Channel show. And I was like, what is happening? What if, like, I thought maybe I had drank something and I was being judged in the afterlife. And like, like if you keep watching, you're going to hell. If you turn this off, you get to go to hell to heaven. But yeah, it was real. And then I remember seeing an advertisement for the IML weekend, and I was like, I need to go to one of these recordings just to be there.
If you go at Gooniversity on Linktree, they have events that are upcoming, including this Saturday. Actually, no, July. No, June. Oh, just passed. But New York, June 6th. Gooniversity, you can get a t-shirt, bandana. And yes, podcast season one is on SoundCloud. I'm sure Spotify wouldn't be able to handle that. And X, of course. And then they have a Just for Fans where the podcast and more is posted, and an OnlyFans that I guess is edited. So, that's fascinating. Never heard of this. All right. Let's see if I can get him out to Seattle. I'll take one for the team and go report back if they come to Seattle.
Oh, we're going together. Like if they come to Seattle, you have to let me know and I have to get a trip out.
Happily. BigDick_Clark is the link that it takes you to. And he's making a duck face with a halo. I don't understand, but $10 to subscribe. I'm not gonna click that right now. Come back later.
No, right now the is the awkward freeze. Yeah.
Listen, I just paid off a giant bill, and I'm like, money's burning a hole in my pocket. And originally, I was gonna buy something sensible, like, you know, save up for a car, save up for a new computer, a new desktop, probably get a new phone. But I don't know. $10 a month to Gooniversity. Sounds like a pretty good.
I don't know. I'm sure you can get a scholarship.
Yeah. They have grant applications now.
Eric, that was the best line that came out of left field. Thank you. Thank you.
Is Gooniversity accredited? I just want to know if my
how'd you do on the entrance exam to Gooniversity?
Did they lose their government funding due to DEI?
I mean,
It's not funny, but it's funny.
They're accredited by the same company that does the Trump University accreditation.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
You just took this in a whole direction that it did not need to go.
Wait, does that mean their DEI is covered by people who have small hands?
Is that the diversity?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, tiny hands. Okay. Tiny hands, orange skin, you get a scholarship.
Oh, we're doing that. Oh, but randomly, okay. Do you guys know what the Solstice Festival is in Seattle? Have you ever heard of this? I mean, it
not
is what
Seattle.
It sounds like. Okay. So in Fremont, which is kind of a fun, weird, kind of quirky area of the city, it's where the giant troll is. It's where there's a giant statue of Lenin. It's weird. It's a weird place. Great, but weird. They had the Solstice Festival every solstice. And one of the features of the Solstice Festival is the naked bike ride. And I know other cities do this too. It's not just Seattle. But we went to the naked bike ride yesterday. A lot of great. There was a Jubilee guy, male presenting at least, Jubilee. Very excellent outfit, naked underneath. There was, you know, Mario, Luigi. There was, there was some other superheroes. I was an Iron Man. Whatever. Generic Marvel, some DC. I think a couple DC. I think my favorite, though, a few people have tandem bicycles, because, of course, surprised I didn't see a unicycle, honestly. It's that kind of vibe. They had a tandem bike with Satan at the front and a very Donald Trumpian-looking naked guy in the back. It was perfect. It was delightful. It was so good. Second only to literally one of the first people we saw, which was very disconcerting because public nudity is allowed. Public lewdness is not, right? You can't have sex on the street, but you can be naked. This dude goes by on a bicycle and he is hard as a rock. He is at least 7 inches, maybe 8, rock hard, coasting down the street, and we're all just like, what, okay. And he circled back, came by a couple times, and each time we're like, oh, I don't know if you're supposed to be in that state, but all right.
He was so, getting his credits for Gooniversity.
There you go. He's getting extracurricular. anyway, I just
think that's Gooniversity's PE requirements.
Naked outdoor bike riding.
Physical education. Oh. Maintaining a hard on while riding your bike around the neighborhood.
I mean, it's impressive, and I'm sure it was chemically induced. But either way, we appreciate it.
And I mean, if he wasn't doing anything with that penis, then I don't know if it technically counts as lewd. So
someone would argue. At this event, no one cared. I mean, maybe mothers probably hid their kids' eyes or something. I don't know. But I don't. It was fine. It was just weird. Which of these things is not like the other?
All right, so let's get to the topics for the...
Matt, you haven't introduced us.
No, y'all deserve to be introduced at this point.
It's been 16 years. They might not know who we are.
y'all
five deserve. People listening don't know who we are. I know.
I mean, seven, if I can convince the Bear Pad guys to actually like listen to this again.
Please do. Jordan was delightful. Who's the other guy? Patrick? Is that the other guy?
Yeah.
He was very quiet. So, I don't know.
Oh, he's Jordan, always very quiet.
Jordan was delightful, though. I really want to talk to Jordan more. Patrick, maybe. I don't know. But Jordan was asleep. I'm just saying.
He's a fucking partner.
This is perfect. I can be like, I'll be like, Jordan, Brian was talking nothing but good things about you. And I was like, Patrick, he just talked shit about you. And then
he just grunted at me. I didn't know what to make of it.
Now I can just be like, Brian was talking shit, so you have to listen to the episode now.
Oh, no, they That's were delightful. Can I just say, though, the Bear Social we have in Seattle, which I know Pat is very familiar with now, it's not a great space for what they do. I wish they had more room because they were tucked in the corner front kind of entrance, which was great. They're by the entrance. Great. Good traffic, you know, to and from the main stuff. But and then they had one of their giant bubs on the stage, and that was cool. I got a picture with it. Well, that was nice. But I think they're better suited for outdoor events where they can spread out a bit. But it's funny because I was like, oh yeah, we're just up in town. We're going to go up to Vancouver. I thought, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, they got friends up there. I was like, I wonder if that's Graham. And sure enough, where did they went to see Graham Colbeans up in Victoria, or maybe they met in Vancouver because Victoria's kind of a pain. But yeah, so small worlds. I love it. It's great. I want them to come back.
That indoor space in that stage was not a giant one. That would have been a large.
Yeah.
The giant one is like 40 feet tall.
Yeah, no, it was not large. The other thing I
have pictures with the giant one from Lazy Bear last year.
Yeah, I know. I really want to see one of the bigger installations they do. But I will say, I'm just going to shit talk to Bear Social, and, you know, because again, somebody might listen. Who knows?
You're determined to get canceled.
They had a Bear Pride this year. So White Center, which is where it is. Yes, it's called White Center. We've already joked about this. I can't defend the name. They have their own pride on Saturday, and it's great. It's actually really one of the best prides we have. Sunday, they had Bear Pride. And what's hilarious to me is Lumberyard, where it's at, in White Center, all they did was reuse the outdoor area, and they sold tickets. And it was like, it wasn't much. It was like $5 or something ahead of time. But it was the Bear Social. It was literally the same event that they did the day before at Pride, but they called it Bear Pride, and it's the same time as their Bear Social. So I thought it was great, and then I was like, y'all didn't even get the go-go's, or no, I guess they may have had like somebody get up on a box, but like ultimately it was kind of the same thing they do every Sunday. But I appreciate what's his name, who is the, did you meet the promoter who did the event, Pat?
I'm pretty sure I did. There were a few of them.
Alex, well, Alex and then the guys who own the bar, but Alex is the driving force, and he's super sweet. And I guess he's doing his best as a very part-time thing, but it was fun. It was humorous. Anyway, sorry. Enough of the diversions. I'm sure we need to talk about pop culture.
At least for 10 or 20 minutes, and then we can all go home. I say we're all home right now.
Well, we're not in our podcasting recording studio.
No. We've decommissioned the transportation beam, and we do not all converge in person for this anymore.
If I win the lottery, I'm going to like try to just like rent out a studio space like every time we need to record and see if I can't. Like, I'd have to win like a mega jackpot, but like do like private flights to like a singular city to all record together in like a professional recording studio.
How much do you think flights are?
A couple hundred thousand.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, for private flights, all right. I was like,
yeah.
Bitch, but it's all commercial. That's fine. If you're paying for it, I don't care. I know oil prices are high, but goddamn. Let's.
But I'd have to win like, you know, 400 million jackpot.
Yeah, taxes, 200 million. Yeah, I mean, you know, it could happen. All right, let's dive into topics. BJ, I'm still not introducing you all as a group. We'll just do it when we go to topics. BJ, why don't you kick us off and save the one that you know that we're all going to have some chatter about for the end, because one of these specific topics definitely, I think, speaks to all of us on this call.
Now we didn't all share our topics. So am I going to get blasted for stealing topics when I mention this? Because
I mean, you probably put it in the group chat, so fuck it.
I did, but
and
I
always go on this call.
You're the one that always says I steal shit.
I know. Well, I would have said something if I no. I know that we were going to talk about at least one of the pieces that came out from this. So rather than it just being a group topic, we'll just all yammer about it towards the end of what you talk about.
All right. So a little weekend ago, they had a State of Play, Summer Games Fest, and a Nintendo Direct, and a Microsoft, that's Microsoft Direct. I can't remember what Xbox calls theirs, like Xbox Pageant or some shit. But it was a lot of gaming news at various different events because E3 is more or less dead due to COVID. So we'll just start at the beginning with State of Play, and I'm just going to kind of go through the ones I'm kind of excited for. If you guys watched it, I'm sure there's some other things that there'll be some other things that you're excited for. But I'll start with the simplest thing first, which is there's a new Marvel fighting game coming out called Marvel Tokon Fighting Souls. They've been slowly introducing their roster. And like one of the rosters is there's like a whole X-Men set. There's an Avengers set that I think is yet to be revealed, but they released the Knights of Doom, which is Doctor Doom, Magneto, Carnage, and Green Goblin, which I'm beyond excited for because I've been wanting Green Goblin for a fighting game for forever. They released the first official trailer of Wolverine by, who is that studio? It's the same studio that did the Spider-Man game. And they released a trailer for the last and final installation of the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is Final Fantasy VII Revelation. And last but not least, I'm beyond excited for, we're finally getting a Until Dawn 2. And then something I wasn't super excited for, but I've made it, I'm more excited for it because it makes all the man babies cry, like just absolutely lost their shit for like a solid week. That's the God of War Lao Fei official trailer where you get to play as Kratos's wife, who is currently in some sort of afterlife purgatory with other gods of war. So, yeah, and it's played by, I cannot remember this actress's name that saved my life. She's Karen Page in a Daredevil. She's Jessica in True Blood. She's been in literally everything since True Blood. But she's playing, she's the render, the physical render for Kratos' wife, and she does all the voice acting. So I'm actually, I've only played the first newer God of War game. I still need to play Ragnarok, but I definitely kind of want to play this, so I need to get off my ass and finish playing Ragnarok.
Yeah, when is she introduced? She's not introduced in the original games.
She's introduced in Ragnarok. There's like a flashback scene where they finally like reveal her, and it's when her and Kratos, it's after Atreus is born, and they're building their home. And the clip I saw was actually really cute. Yeah, we're going to get to learn about her past and everything, maybe possibly how she died, seeing as it was mentioned that she went toe-to-toe with Thor, and it ended in a stalemate. So I'm very excited, though. The gameplay looks really fun. Jack Quaid is in it. So I was like, it's good to know he's still getting a paycheck after The Boys ended. So, but yeah, so that was the PlayStation.
He's playing a gelatinous cube.
Yeah, he is. it's a very Jack Quaid thing. I feel like for him to play like the weird, like what is that? That fairy from, Legend of Zelda. That's kind Bingle? Of his character. Yeah. Navi. Not
that was cross jingle now.
So but yeah, the State of Play is up on YouTube, so if anybody wants to watch it to see like all the every single game. But moving on, next was the Summer Game Fest, which had a lot of announcements. Actually, the Summer Game Fest, my favorite reveal for Summer Game Fest is I'm finally getting the Resident Evil Code Veronica remake. I've been waiting for this fucking game. Yeah.
How did I miss this?
Yeah.
Why did nobody tell me about this?
Uh-huh. It's been revealed that it's Resident Evil Veronica, is the official title. And it's got all of the little, they just showed the scenery and a silhouette of Alfred Ashford, who is probably my favorite Resident Evil villain of all time. And the best part is that people are now going back and playing the original Code Veronica, which honestly, the voice lines were god awful, but beautiful. But yeah, so we're getting a Resident Evil Veronica, we're getting Alien Isolation 2, which looks like it takes place on a planet instead of a ship, which somehow is even more terrifying to me. We're getting a Cuphead sequel. And something I'm beyond excited about is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin game done by Platinum Games, which is the same company that did Bayonetta. So very excited about that. And then there was a PAL World 1.0 update that's coming out. And then believe that's really it. There's another Monster Hunter game coming out. I really wish I could get into Monster Hunter. I've got three of them on my console, and I just haven't played any of them. But yeah, the Summer Game Fest. Those are the ones that I'm pretty excited about. And then we got a Xbox Showcase. That's what it is. And really, because it's Xbox, and half their games usually end up on PC, I'm not really super jazzed about it. However, we got a Persona 4 Revival full trailer, and there's a gameplay trailer that came out like a week ago too. So I'm beyond excited about that, because Persona 4 is probably one of my favorite JRPGs of all time. And then we got the surprise reveal of Persona 6, which seems to be heavily horror themed, which is I'm beyond excited about. So those were the only two things that the Xbox Showcase that I was over the moon about. And then we come to the absolute chaos that was the Nintendo Direct, which had the the Nintendo Direct was
let's get on the big thing at the end, because there was some other good shit that came out of the Nintendo Direct.
I don't know which big thing, because there are a lot of big things.
That all of us will be talking about.
Xenoblade Genesis, obviously.
Exactly.
It's Kingdom Hearts 4, obviously. Which was hilarious. Nothing was better than watching reactors react to they're re-releasing the Kingdom Hearts compilations again for the Switch 2, but also I think in physical copies or like full downloadable digital copies instead of the weird cloud ones for the first Switch. But everybody like saw like, okay, it's a compilation, whatever, no Kingdom Hearts 4 news, whatever. And then they dropped a full trailer for Kingdom Hearts 4 with actual gameplay, which is hilarious, because everybody was expecting the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer at all of the other showcases, but out of everything, and it makes sense because Kingdom Hearts 4 is now cross-platform on everything. But yeah, it was like one of the last two major announcements for the Nintendo Direct. And then they had like a weird 10-minute talk about the new Wii Sports or Mii Sports game. I sat there for like 5 minutes and I was like, are we good? Are we done?
Yeah, he did a full thumb wrestling match for some reason.
I was like, these old people at Nintendo need to stop. I need them to just understand that gamers, like, while gamers do like casual games, you don't need 10 minutes on a bunch of
games. Yeah, I mean, it's cool that they're making a new Wii Sports, but you can just say, hey, it's Wii Sports with new sports. Great. That's
it. It's wonderful. You show some clips. I don't need to watch you play it. So I'll save the other big, I'll save the actual big announcement for a little later. But honestly, I think this is the first like games showcase fest thing. I got everything I wanted. I got every single damn thing I wanted. Oh, and the nice little surprise with the Wolverine trailer, we got Gene. Gene just showed up and was like, hey, what's up? So I was like, we got Gene, we got Mystique.
As you should.
The interesting thing is this takes place in a world that the X-Men have not been formed yet, and Wolverine's just going around cutting up Ravagers to save mutants on his own. So I'm very interested to kind of see how this all builds. So this takes place in a world technically without the X-Men. And what was interesting, in one of the Spider-Man games, you can go to like one of the sister schools of the Xavier Institute, and it's abandoned, and Peter mentions that school used to be open, but something happened. So I don't know if Professor Xavier like gave up or what, but it seems like some of the core X-Men characters that are appearing in the game are still kind of doing the mission of saving and helping mutants and kind of maintaining the peace. But you've got Wolverine running around just slashing people in half, and I fucking can't wait to play that game. That's going to be... Because I just view Ravagers and the FOH as white supremacists, so I just get to cut up a bunch of white supremacists. And it's... At this point, it's almost a kink. So...
And is he short? That's what I thought I heard. That.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He's definitely hairy.
He's a short, hairy king that looks like he smells like dog, and it's everything I could ever want in a man. It's really all I want. it's a little dangerous, stinky short king. That's all I really want.
All right.
That's now helping the little guy.
Let's dive into the big thing. The minute and 27 seconds of an announcement.
So I have, what's funny is I have slight mixed feelings about it, but we are getting the Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time remake, which is technically the second remake.
Whoa. Say it again.
We're getting the Legend.
Let him say it how he says it. It's fine.
No, I want to hear it one more time. I just want to make
tomato,
sure.
Tomato.
He said Ocarina. Not Ocarina.
Okay. It sounded like orc porn. I was like, is this the Zelda orc porn? What is
this? Oh, I'm sure somebody's already made that. In fact, I might Google it right now. I'm like, I don't even... AI is listening to everything. I'm sure it's going to pop up on my Twitter feed tonight.
Oh, yeah.
While I'm listening to Gooniversity. But yeah, we got a The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time remake. Yeah, I'm very excited, but also I'm wondering just how it's going to play out. Because it looks like it's from the ground up rebuild. So which
apparently
I kind of
that's what was on the website, or on one version of the Nintendo website, was talking about how it is a full reimagining of the original, because the 3DS version was a graphic update with some adjustments and some added content, I believe. I never played it on 3DS, but that descriptor was shortly then taken down and just replaced with the fact that it was, you know, coming soon. So the fact that we only got one image from the game, I think they don't want to give too much away right off the bat, but
yeah,
the big thing is that it's coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get it later this year. What it was? Did they say October or did they just say fall?
I believe they said. Let's double check this. I will not commit blasphemy.
I don't know why I keep thinking October, but
a lot of stuff. Because I think Wolverine.
Well, a lot of stuff is coming out in September, because I think the beginning of October is when GTA 6 is dropping.
Yeah, nobody.
And
wants
everybody's
to get
trying
that.
To not be in the way of GTA 6, but I don't think Nintendo cares about that.
So it's expected to launch during the holiday season 2026,
gotcha.
And it's going to be exclusively for Switch 2.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Makes me a little mad, but I'm very interested.
That was going to be on Switch 1.
Better buy your Switch 2 now before it jumps up $50. You said you just paid off bills.
I know, but a Switch 2 is actually like, I think that was like number 6 on the list. I was actually thinking about getting that ROG Xbox Ally PC handheld, because it effectively uses your Steam library, your Xbox library, and I think your Battle.net, it has like every digital game store that you can access on it. So I was like, I'd already have access to like what 60 games that I have in my Steam library. So I'm toying with the idea, because all the Persona games are also, once they moved to Xbox, the Persona games are all available like day one when they launch, if you have the Xbox like the Xbox streaming service, game streaming service. So I was toying with that. That's higher on the list, but it's not much higher. So
listen, when the Ocarina of Time remake comes out, you'll be very happy.
The Oricana game.
The Arcana is from Mortal Kombat, the movie?
The Oralcana?
What about Rokana, Democrat from California?
God. The Rockarina?
What is everybody's take on Ocarina of Time remake in the minute and a half teaser that we got?
Yay. I mean, I want to know, are they going to split into two games? Somebody said that's a thing they might do, kind of like Final Fantasy VII. I obviously have a sense of like nostalgia that makes the delightedly low res sort of version meaningful and special to me. But if I could play the Ocarina game in the same or similar engine that they used to make Breath of the Wild, I'd do it. It sounds delightful, and I'd enjoy every second until I don't beat it, because I just stop at some point, as is always is my tradition. So yeah, if it's Breath of the Wild meets Ocarina of Time, sign me up.
Eric, what are your thoughts?
I 2D Zelda is far superior to me than 3D Zelda, so I'm meh about it. I never had a 64 growing up, so while I did get to play Ocarina a couple times at friends' houses, it was never my Zelda as a kid.
Not my hashtag not my Zelda.
Hashtag not my Zelda.
What is your preferred Zelda game then? Out of curiosity.
Mostly Link to the Past, although my all-time favorite is Link's Awakening on original Game Boy.
Wow. All right. Okay. BJ, what was your takeaway from the OOT announcement?
A little annoyed that if anything's going to lead me to a Switch 2, it's this game, and there was a weird... let me see if I can find it. They mentioned it in passing. I don't see it. There's a game where it's so this game. I'm excited about Ocarina of Time. I think it was probably the third Zelda game I ever played, because I missed all of the Super Nintendo Zelda games. I never had a Super Nintendo growing up.
And Nintendo. So remember, we're old, bitch.
I played the original one on Nintendo.
Okay.
That was the first one. And right. Then the second one I played, I believe, was the one for Game Boy. And then it was Ocarina of Time.
You skipped Zelda 2?
Yeah, what's funny is I never got a chance to play it before. I think I got more into Sega. I was playing Sega more. So
yeah, the objectively best game of the series, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
See, now who's trying to get canceled? Now who's trying to... The nerds are already at a fever pitch for having to play as a woman in a God of War game.
The next thing Nintendo announces for Zelda's 40th anniversary, a remake of Zelda 2.
I really want to play that. But they have to keep it
honestly. If you remade that in like a fully 3D engine, I mean,
no, side scroller, got to keep it a side scroller. But you could do the modern side scroller, like Metroidvania or whatever. You know, that kind of more whatever side scroller. Which, by the way, can we take a brief pause here? The fact that none of you mentioned Final Fantasy Resonance kind of blows my mind. But we'll come back to that.
I'm torn about that.
No, it's okay. Let's finish Zelda, because I want to talk about that.
So I'm excited about Zelda, but I'm more excited. There's a game that it's animated like the original Voltron, and you're repairing a space station, and it's two players. So one person, that one made me dangerously close to getting a Switch 2, because that's a Switch 2 exclusive, and it looks absolutely phenomenal. I'm excited about Ocarina of Time. Honestly, Nintendo, I think, has one more. If there's one more Switch 2 exclusive that like resonates with me, I might wind up getting a Switch 2.
Well, speaking of resonate.
Okay.
Do you mind if I jump in for this? So Final Fantasy has obviously gone through some changes over the years, and all of us here, Pat, you've never played the old ones, right?
No.
BJ, have you ever played the old Final Fantasy?
Yeah, I believe it was, what was it?
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we, yeah. Whatever.
The numbers got all jumbled because the first one I ever played was on Super Nintendo.
But you played a turn-based, probably 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I know Eric has. So it's been a while since the proper Final Fantasy franchise has decided to go back and do sort of the classic turn-based approach. They have variants that are touching on that in certain ways, and they have other games inspired by Final Fantasy classics that have done it and done it really well. Was it Octopath? Is that Square though, isn't it? Is Octopath?
That's Square. Yeah. Octopath Traveler. Square. Yeah.
So even the main company that makes these has done this, just not with Final Fantasy. So they announced Final Fantasy Resonance. And what I think is especially interesting and kind of surprising, it looks just beautiful in that glorious retro style, but like with really like cool graphic effects like they can do now with, you know, really high end gaming systems. So it's retro, but it's not like lo-fi, if that makes sense. It's got a delightfully good balance of the two from what I've seen. Now,
what do they call it? The 2.5D?
Yeah. Or 2DHD, I think I saw.
2DHD.
Yeah, I mean, 2D, so sure, 2D, whatever 2D. You want to call that effect. I'd like to say it's like a hi-fi or HD. Yeah, fine, 2D HD works. So you have mixed feelings, Eric. I'm very excited because I like seeing some innovation of a kind. It's not like it's, you know, brand new, but it's a remix of the old idea. So what do you think?
Well, it is a remake / reimagining of Final Fantasy Brave Exvius, which is one of the mobile games. And that is not one I played. The one I played was, what was it? Final Fantasy Record Keeper. Mm. I played that for a little bit. Which, fine if they want to remake / remaster this game, which apparently has enough support behind it to warrant this game being made. I worry that it's going to be a gacha, which I don't want a Final Fantasy gacha game.
Oh wait, when you mean gachapon, like a Pokemon? Like, kind of thing?
I don't want it to be like a Genshin Impact or that type of you're pulling for characters.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that threw me off was basically it looks like the summons, quote unquote, are characters from the other games pulled in to do an instant attack. Like the one I think they showed in the trailer was Cloud instantly coming in to do an attack. And that just throws me off from being in a completely separate story to then seeing random characters from other games pop in for a second and then leave.
Yeah, if it's a standalone, and I think the mobile game was like that, where you essentially pulled previous Final Fantasy characters for like either an ability or like you equipped them like a stat boost. This one I think it's just like a fully realized version of the game. So all that's already integrated in there. So you might have to like in game, you might have to like either recover the characters or like purchase them. I don't think you have to purchase them with real money, but you might have to like acquire them in game and equip them. But you're right. That's a very gotcha game sort of feel. So if there's no in-game purchases, I might pick it up. Because it does look phenomenal. It looks absolutely fantastic. And honestly, I would be more on board with them remaking older Final Fantasies with the same sort of 2D HD style and just kind of updating them a little bit. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Well, I'm excited. I didn't realize it was based on that other game, but I'll play it. Any other announcements from the gaming world?
No, I think that's really it.
Actually, it wasn't an announcement, but I don't know if y'all are big Control fans.
There was a new Control game announced.
How Freudian. I'm a big fan of Control. I have been going back and playing the original game in preparation for Control Resonance. Mm-hmm. And as a part of the trailers coming out, this was not just announced. This has been announced for a while. There's a Finnish band. I got to find the name of it. It's this woman singer. And the trailer's got this Finnish. It sounds like almost Japanese manga-esque, kind of music. It fixated me for a good few days listening to it on repeat. So if you want, check out the Control Resonance soundtrack and you might find some cool Finnish music that you had no idea you were missing in your life.
Very good. Well, lots of great game news and lots of things to look forward to coming up here. Eric, what you got for us?
So there was a new anime that debuted this season, which their finale of the first season will be airing tomorrow on Crunchyroll. But it's Witch Hat Atelier, which has just been freaking gorgeous and mostly cozy. It's a non-magical girl who wants to become a witch. And of course, in the first episode, her mom gets turned to stone. So then she has to be adopted into this magical school. It's got a really cool magic structure where the magic is not inherent in individuals. It is all about art and drawing seals. And the big secret is anyone can do it with the right magical ink and pen. And they just don't want it falling into the everyday people's hands because it'll just get out of control. And it's just beautifully animated and good characters. And yeah. Has anybody else heard / seen about it?
It's actually on my list to start watching. I got if you like cozy magic animes, Frieren is a really good one.
Oh, I love Frieren.
Yeah, Frieren Beyond Journey's End is it's essentially just an elf that end like their big journey ended and they get to it's just following her like post win. And so that one's really cozy, but yeah, Witch Hat Atelier is definitely it's on my high priority list because this season of One Piece ends in like another 2 or 3 weeks. So then I'm going to need something else to jump on in the meantime. I'm actually really excited to start that one.
Yeah. And something else completely different I've kind of been getting into is a band called The Midnight, which they're a synthwave group. And I kind of discovered them when I saw a trailer for a new D&D expansion / game version called Neon Odyssey, which just watch that trailer. It's a fully animated trailer with a new song from the Midnight. It's by the people, Legends of Advantress, which is an actual live play show. And if you've seen any of their animated shorts from their
I love them.
Campaigns, they're fucking hilarious. But Neon Odyssey is like, it's just got that vibe of like Cowboy Bebop-ish, that kind of retro space adventure type feel to it. And it's, and since then I've just been getting into more of the Midnight's catalog, and they're really fun.
They're a great band. I've been listening to them. I don't remember what got me into them. It was something synthwave, like, you know, the algorithm's like, oh, you like synthwave, here's some more synthwave. But BJ, one of the guys, I think the lead singer, one of the producers, one of them's Danish and lives in Portland, but the other guy is in Atlanta. So he's one of your hometown heroes there.
I'll check him out.
Tyler something, I forgot. Yeah. So great, great band, though.
Very nice. Very nice. Brian, what you got?
Hello. I think I talked about Widow's Bay, but I want to give it a little bit more of a attention in a sec. But have we talked about Backrooms?
No, it wasn't out the last time we recorded.
Has
so I don't
anyone else see. Seen it besides me?
I saw it.
Okay. Well, good. I was not familiar with this phenomenon. I did know about the internet thing, the fact that it was sort of a meme. Yeah, I know. How did I miss this? I don't know.
It's known as liminal space horror.
And liminal space horror I had heard of, and somehow I did not know about Backrooms and the lore that the director, whose name I will not remember, to find out his name here in a second. This movie from A24 is totally not what I thought it would be. It is weird in a delightfully great way. It's not perfect. There's definitely things that I think I would have or could have felt better about. Kane Parsons is the student film director. Like, he made this as a student film in high school and was, I think, getting into college or applying to college or getting ready. And then A24 said, hey, do you want to make these films for us? Like, do you want to direct your own first feature film at, like, what is he, 18, 19, I think, by the time he probably got the call. And then he's like 20 something now, like early 20s. It's insane.
Yeah. He's like 26, I think.
I don't even think he's that. Is he that? Anyway, doesn't matter.
Either 24 or 26.
He is young, is what I will say. And I've heard him on interviews now a few times, and he's very smart, obviously. But what's just what I think. So I'll talk about the movie in a second. But what I really am inspired by is anyone who ever wanted to make weird things on, like, online podcasts, movies, music. Like, I hope you see more and more of this. I mean, I think we will, especially after this success of Backrooms. But, like, Hollywood is, like, finding out that all of these amazing creators online are, like, you know, not just influencers. They did that first and stupid. But, like, these creators are being celebrated and discovered and getting promotion. And a lot of them have gotten their own, you know, they've built their own brands. I was thinking, like, Red Letter Media, you know, those guys, and they're just making their own thing and doing their own thing really well. So it's both, right? But Hollywood is finding these creators. And so, yeah, Backrooms is liminal space horror. So it's those odd, unusual, disconcerting spaces that usually because there's, like, no people. And also just because there's, like, this repetitive sort of undercurrent. So in this case, Backrooms is, like, I think mid-90s beige office spaces. We've all seen them. We've all, well, some of us worked in them. But yeah, that just goes on forever. So it's like a pocket dimension, and this, I can never say his name, Cheadle OE4. Is that close? I think that's close. Who I love. Yeah. Anytime he shows up, even if he's in weird, like, sci-fi stuff, like he was in the Firefly movie, but he was Kinky Boots, the movie. Oh, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. He's the main guy, and he's this, like, out of luck, former like architect turned furniture sales manager. And just his life is at a dead end of sorts. He's trying to pay his bills and employ people at his little shitty office store, not office, furniture store, but discovers there's this entrance to this liminal space that is the back rooms. And hijinks ensue. I don't want to spoil too much because honestly, you can know that much. That's like all the trailers have that. But what comes of the back rooms, it's not that it's so mind-blowing in the, like, there's not this big arc. It's more of a quiet, like, almost story about this guy and his stuff, and then his therapist comes in and gets involved, and that's a whole other element. But like, it's a very interesting ride that left me disconcerted, but also kind of thinking about the movie. And I have not stopped, but I have definitely been thinking about this movie more than other movies I've seen recently. So yeah, if you're just bored on a Friday or whatever day of the week, because it's been out for a while, go see Backrooms. It's like a 2-hour ride. It's actually got some really good soundtrack work too by the director and one of his like buddies from high school or something. Like, they just make their own music too, which is really cool. And the acting is pretty great. Again, the story's not perfect. There's some turns and twists and things that I don't love. And evidently it is sort of in canon with the rest of the Backrooms YouTube series. So I would not recommend going down that rabbit hole until after you see the movie. But definitely after, if you're really into it, go check out his films on YouTube. It's like Kane Pixel or something is his brand. And I mean, what's that?
I would actually probably see those before the movie. Like, if you watch the movie before you've seen those, definitely go back and like watch the short films.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen the movie, because I've watched, so I watched all of the original short films like a long time ago, and I went back and rewatched them, and then I watched this movie. And the thing about the movie is you could almost, the thing with the Backrooms is you never know when you're going to kind of like accidentally fall into it. That's one of the scary things about liminal space horror to me, is like urban explorers, they'll just like happen upon it and might not be able to get out. So that's one of the things that's like really creepy about it. The other thing is the fact that it's the movie itself is just treated as like an almost like an accent piece to it. The movie itself is almost meant to kind of drive you to learn more about not only this genre, but like specifically this form of the Backrooms. There's one that I can't remember what it's called. It's like the Underground Mall or something like that. And that one is absolutely terrifying to me, because it's just about this guy that like does like urban exploration and finds an underground mall and can't get out. He can't figure out how to get out. And at the same time, there's like this big Halloween decoration that's just like on wheels moving around. And then when it notices him, it starts stalking him. And I'm like, that automatically makes me want to pee myself. It's just that like you've not only fell into this liminal space, but there's things living in there that know the space, that understand the space.
Yeah.
But you don't.
And that's what Backrooms the movie. Again, I, you know, however you want to choose your adventure, this, the movie is not dependent on any of this lore. You can go in the movie and just experience it. And it's got, like BJ is saying, it's got sort of characters that are in the world that seem to be of the world. There's an idea that the world is sort of learning and watching and sort of absorbing the people who come into it and doing stuff like based on them. I mean, it's trippy. I don't know. There's a lot you can talk about this. And I think it's just worth experiencing. So watch the YouTube, watch the movie, just go scratch the surface, see if it's your thing. It is creepy. It's a little, not jump scare exactly, but there's a few moments of honestly, the closest thing I could compare it to is Blair Witch. And that's sort of, there's elements of like that kind of filmmaking where you're just like with a camera running around. It's not the whole thing. So don't worry if you're not going to get nauseous, but there's a part of it that's very like kid with a camera. And in fact, the original is basically that, a kid with a camera who falls into the space. But Mark Duplass, one of the Duplass brothers, shows up, and that kind of blew my mind too, because like they are they're a very powerful, very influential two brothers in the industry who make a lot of good indie films. Another film that I don't know if I want to talk about too much was called Blue Film, and one of them produced that. And Blue Film is a very, very different vibe and ride. And I don't know that I would even recommend it, because it's about child molestation and adults coming to terms with the bad things they've done in their lives in a pseudo-sexual context. Anyway, that's a different film. I saw that in an art house film. Black Rooms is everywhere. You should go see it and, yeah, see what you think. Oh, but Widow's Bay, real quick. We talked, yeah. So do we throw this one in there?
No. Well, just real quick, Kane Parsons, he's 20. He just turned 21 a couple of days ago.
I thought he was, he's a child. But I mean, an amazing child that, like, seriously deserves to get, like, more money and more funding to do whatever. Widow's Bay. Anybody else watching Widow's Bay? I know I talked about it briefly.
Yeah, I've lost access to my Apple Plus, so I've only seen it in clips some
Eric,
speculation
you finished it?
Stuff.
Yep.
Did you love it?
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
I think tonally it's too all over the place for me to really get into it, because I don't think it's
kind of hilarious.
Until, like, at times it wants to be a Mike Flanagan show,
right?
But at times it wants to be Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It's funny you say that. I had not thought about the Buffy connection, and in a sense, you're right. Buffy.
I mean, it's just a Hellmouth, basically. It seems like.
It's Cthulhu. It's Stephen King. It's the Hellmouth. The premise is kind of basic. You know, the island is cursed. There's some kind of monster thing, elder god, living in the bowels of it and demanding its pound of flesh. And if you don't, you know, give it that, bad things happen. But that's the chum. That's the get you through the story, which is interesting, but nothing groundbreaking. It's the acting, it's the comedy infused with the scary that I think I really love. And Matthew Reese is not someone I was ever that, like, I knew of him.
I never watched Brothers and Sisters. I never watched
The Americans. Yeah, I haven't watched any of his other stuff. But seriously, that man, he plays this sort of sniveling, but wants to be a hero, but also makes bad decisions, and just so well. And then I went off and watched, like, an interview with him, and he's, like, so Welsh, it's, like, painful and delightful. And
then, like, the lady who plays Patricia, she's also British, and
she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's just, and then the guy from
Stephen Root is amazing.
Stephen Root is amazing. The guy, David Hiller, maybe? He's the guy from Somewhere, Someplace, or Someplace.
Yeah, he just won an Emmy.
Yeah, like, the cast is stacked with amazing actors who, freaking, what's his name from, talking about Flanagan, the head vampire priest guy, from Pat, the brother from what's the show with Elaine? I think my brain's not working. Stop working. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. What was the show we used to watch with her and her brother?
With who?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It was a sitcom.
Oh, New Adventures of Old Christine.
Yes, the brother. Whose name is
Hamish Linklater?
Hamish Linklater. He plays this delightfully fucked up, sort of serious until it's not role. And again, that's why I love the show, because he's this horrible monster who they bring back from the dead. A little bit of spoiler. This is the only moment where the show does kind of go a little far into the crazy, but, like, it's a crazy show. A lot of weird shit happens. But, like, that, and he's out on the boat with them, is fucking funny. And I guess a lot of the lines that he said were improv'd, and they had to do, like, so many takes because they just kept losing it. I this show is a gift, and I think if you're not familiar with it, Patricia's Sunset Cocktails, that is going to be a thing you're going to see referenced a lot this summer, especially. I'm looking forward to seeing a Bear Week or a party that themes themselves this way, because I think that's gonna be pretty crazy and fun. Hopefully it doesn't end up the same way. Yeah, just this show out of nowhere. I had never heard of it in my life, and then it appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's adapted from anything. Nope. I think it's purely original.
Purely original, new IP. Got a season two, so don't worry if you're getting invested in it. You're going to get a second season, we think. The creator, and I cannot remember her name, but she's the weird chick who showed up as a Babadook at like a party, and that went viral. That's her. She's a writer on a bunch of stuff.
Is it?
Yeah, I look it up. But I just small New England town of crazy. It's Twin Peaks meets a little bit of Buffy, and is just so fucking great. I love it. And yeah, probably one of the best shows I've seen recently. So Backrooms, Widow's Bay, you got your homework. You should, go do that.
Nice. So let's chat Drag Race real quick. We are now almost through all of the brackets. And what are we? Orange is going. There's three brackets.
Yes.
Oh, I thought there were four for some reason.
No, only three. Thoughts since we talked last month about, because I don't think we had gotten, I think we were in the middle of, oh god, what was last? Pink? Purple?
Yeah, pink.
I don't know the colors.
Whichever one, Selena and April Carry On and Vivacious were all part of. So we got through the end of that. We're now halfway through this bracket. Thoughts.
So I've only seen the first of the new bracket, the latest bracket, but I can already tell you I don't care as much. There's a couple that I'm interested in, but like overall, like not my, the second bracket really was the best, I think. Kind of fucked up the way it ended, but again, all of this is so production heavy and so like we're going to put forward the people who we want that I don't think it really mattered, but there was some good drama if you like your Drag Race drama with Selena and what's her name?
Aura,
yeah. I mean, that was the fact that they were like heavy-handedly teasing Unplugged either means they realize that a lot of people aren't watching Unplugged anymore, which they probably aren't as much.
Untucked,
sorry. Oh, yeah, Untucked.
Unplugged was an MTV show where musicians played acoustically.
Based on the name, it's derived from that, so you can see where I go. Anyway, Untucked, thank you, was heavily like teased, like, oh my god, no one's gonna watch it, but like obviously people are interested in this nonsense and are gonna watch it, or people who are interested. I didn't watch it. I don't know, first round, people who I wanted to go through got through, except for wait, who went through the second one? Was it it's Crystal, I know that. And was it Silky?
Crystal and Silky.
Yeah, I mean, Silky, sure, I get why. She's ridiculous. Crystal, of course, because she fucking deserved it. It was amazing. I don't know. I would have liked Selena, honestly. I really like Selena, so I kind of wanted her to go through, but, you know, we'll see who the wild cards are going to be.
I think it's kind of obvious who the... Well, at least so far, who the... I think for the wild card, they'll pick Morgan from the first bracket and Selena from the second bracket. Kind of, they were in the third place position for both of those brackets.
I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Carrie Colby was like bottom, all three episodes of her bracket, and was still chosen.
Yeah.
I think you're right on the fact that Morgan should definitely be chosen from her bracket as the wild card rep. And I think Selena makes sense from the middle bracket also.
Yeah, I don't know who would be the wild card from the third bracket, obviously because we haven't had the third episode yet, but I am just rooting for Joey J, because if you aren't, you're homophobic.
Especially during Pride Month. They made sure to keep Joey J's bracket in June.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a fine bracket. There's just Joey J just amuses me the most. Is I like Hershey. I like that she's gotten to come back and show more than she did on her season.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Hershey will advance to the next round, but I'm glad that she's getting a little bit of shine right now. So that's good for her. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the final episode of this bracket. And then I think they're going to do a little bit more with the episodes after, but I'm not sure. We'll have less people and we won't go into a finale with eight queens this time around. So that'll be good. So I don't know this. It feels like this is weighted for certain queens, but then at the end of the day, I don't know who will actually win.
Yeah.
So
based on the MVQ points, queens can slip through.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It'll be this bracket, especially with kind of an even distribution of wealth. It'll be very interesting to see what the next episode brings and how the points end up being distributed at the end. But
I will say one thing I miss about this season is just at the very end of the episode, not having a preview to see what the next challenge is going to be. Which I kind of understand because they're always wearing the pins with their point total on it. So they're like, well, we don't want to ruin who gets MVQ points in the preview, but they could edit the heck out of around that.
True. I didn't even think about that. But I was like, yeah, where's the preview? And then just kept... So I guess you just, you know, at this point now you just wait until like Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then YouTube puts out like the first 10 minutes of the episode and you get to see that whole thing. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I just don't want Silky to win the season.
Oh, God, she can't win. No.
I will say it was fun that people broke the I don't want to say necessarily breaking the fourth wall. Okay, spoiler alert, Brian. This week's challenge was the wrap and roast. They brought it back from last year. And at least two people referenced the fact that it was Kennedy's fourth time on All Stars, or fourth time on Drag Race. So even though the production doesn't want to admit it, the queens are accepting that Canada versus the world happened.
Good.
Production said, you've only been with RuPaul three times. Brooklyn don't count. It's fine. The same thing happened with Silky in the second bracket. They kept saying third time, and then something happened, or it was like the reading challenge. Oh, when they had to do the reading slap challenge. And it got said at least once or twice in there that it was her fourth time. But so the reason I wanted to bring up some Drag Race is because I went to see Stop That Train in theaters June 12th. So I went on opening weekend. It was a packed theater, line out the door, around the building. Took us forever to get into our chairs. All right, fine. There were like 30 of us in the theater.
Well, no, the one here in Seattle, from what my friend said, was packed. So, and Irene was there. It was a whole thing. But I mean, I don't know. That's like one showing, right? So, yeah.
We went to a theater in Skokie, Sunday at 6 o'clock or 6:45 showing.
Oh, you didn't go to one of the big ones hosted by a RuPaul girl?
No. We were like, okay, well, we'll do a chill. And actually, my friends Dan and James organized and picked the time and all that. I was like, all right, I'm joining. Let's go. But there was probably about 30 or 40 of us in the theater having a good old time. The movie is so ridiculous, so stupid, and I fucking loved it. For those who don't know, Stop That Train is a 2026 American action comedy disaster film directed and produced by Adam Shankman, written by Christina Friel and Connor Wright, co-produced by Unapologetic Projects and World of Wonder. This film features an ensemble cast, including drag performers Ginger Minj, Jujubee, and RuPaul Charles. It's about two train stewardesses who work to stop a disaster from happening on a train due to a storm, or a stormaganza, if you're ever so inclined. The film was theatrically released in the United States on June 12, 2026, by Bleecker Street. It received generally positive reviews from critics. So, Jujubee and Ginger.
Did it?
I believe so.
Yeah, it actually got a high rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Oh. I want to say it's like in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. Jujubee and Ginger are the stars of this movie. Like, this is their film, and it's fantastic. Ginger, obviously, we know her, we're friends with her. Did a fantastic job. Jujubee was amazing. My standout, Latrice Royale, who the running gag is that she works at every place that there is a scene at. So Ginger and Jujubee as Tess and Dee Dee. So Ginger is Tess, Jujubee is Dee Dee. They work for Stank Rail. And Stank Rail ends up closing down, and they essentially, or two of the Glamazonian, Glamazonian Express, two of the stewardesses don't show up for work, as the train is the first like bullet train in the U.S., and the end destination is Celebration, Florida. Two of the girls don't show up, and they end up essentially taking those jobs. And then they have to deal with Allie, Amber, and Ashley. Amber is Brooklyn. Allie is Marsha. And Ashley is Simone. The train is full of random cameos and just celebrity, you know, it's a who's who of the train. And then you have Brian Jordan Alvarez as the co-conductor and Chris Parnell as the conductor of the train. I've just listed here on Google under cast. You've got RuPaul, Brian Jordan Alvarez, Jujubee, Marsha, Ginger, Brooklyn, Rachel Bloom, Matt Rogers, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Joel McHale, Monet Exchange, or Chris Parnell, Latrice Royale, Lisa Rinna, Charo, Raven Simonier, Nicole Richie, Simone, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Michelle Visage, Guy Branum, Drew Drogi, and it's just, it's so stupid and so fucking fun. I highly recommend seeing this film. It's especially in these couple of weeks when it's first out in the theaters, be surrounded by queer people, have a queer laugh, enjoy this in Pride Month. Because come July, this movie's outlawed and then you can't enjoy it anymore. It's only allowed in June for 2 weeks. But no, overall, I know we talked about this, I think, last time. And I was hoping that, because, you know, I mentioned I grew up on Hot Shots and Naked Gun. And I've seen Airplane, but, you know, it was a little bit before my time of actually, you know, growing up with that. Robin Hood, Men in Tights, all of those films, and this for the most part just really captured the essence without it being like, let's punch down on, you know, black people or, you know, gays. I mean, punch down on gays in this movie, but it's allowed in this film. But, you know, President Gagwell, she fun. It's silly, it's stupid, it's fun. I highly recommend it. I don't want to give too much away, but it's, you're not going into this for there being this massive, huge, cohesive plot. But for what it was, for everybody that was involved, it really was a shit ton of fun. And then during the credits, they do kind of Toy Story 2-ish, where they do a like the credits roll, and then they have like the little like half screen or like quarter screen kind of pop up, and they do some bloopers, and then also some like additional footage of Amber Alley and Ashley like pushing all the celebrities down the slide, because you know obviously the train is now reached the end and they're trying to disembark through the like emergency slide, and it's just some silly shenanigans during the credits. It's fun. I am very glad that I went and saw this in the theater. I'm glad that I was, you know, got to enjoy this with a bunch of other seemingly queer people. I don't know. I'm not going to assume anybody's preference or orientation or what they enjoy to do with themselves and others at university, but it was definitely a great little environment to be a part of. So I highly recommend Stop That Train, only in theaters June 12th.
Eric, let's go see it.
Okay.
We might be able to figure this out tomorrow night. I don't know. We'll see. It's playing somewhere fun.
I'm telling you, if you go, you should go see it. You will enjoy it. It's fun. All right. That brings us to the end of this episode. Just want to send a big thank you to everybody listening. 16 years of a show is a long time. And the cast has changed a few times over the course of those 16 years. But we wouldn't keep doing this if you all weren't out there listening, sending feedback, becoming our friends, you know, in a fun parasocial to really social way. So we appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the three of you on the episode with me. Thank you to everybody who has played a part in creating and you know, on mic, off mic, behind the scenes. It's been a lovely journey. So we appreciate you being here for whatever portion of the 16 years that you have been. And we look forward to seeing where the future takes us. So thank you again. 16 years of Flame On. If you've seen, enjoyed, or partaken in any of the things that we talked about today, let us know. And until next time, we will we'll be back in a couple of weeks with more pop culture goodness. But until then, flame off.
Bye.